This Advent, our sermon series is going to be a little different from the norm, if there is a norm. I'm not sure if there is, but it'll be a little different from what we usually do. All four of our Advent sermons during the Advent season this year are going to focus on the same verse of Scripture, Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It is the first line spoken by the angel to the shepherds, the angel proclaiming the good news to them. So each Sunday we will read this verse and focus on a different phrase in that one verse. So this morning I invite you to hear this verse of Scripture. Pay close attention this morning to the first four words of the angel's message to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Scripture says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" May God bless the reading of this word today. I read that some believe that we as human beings are born with two universal fears. We have the fear of falling, and we have the fear of loud noises. And some believe we are all born with these two universal fears. Now, as we get older, as we grow, as we have experiences, then we develop more fears that are unique to us. Some fear flying. Some are afraid of deep waters. Some fear germs or crowds or heights or tight spaces or spiders. Lots of things we fear. Depending on your football team, some of you may have thought your football team was afraid of scoring touchdowns yesterday. I won't mention any names, but there are a lot of fears. We all develop different kinds of fears. But some go even deeper, don't they? Some of our fears become debilitating, gripping us with anxiety. Maybe you're afraid of failure at your job or at work. Maybe you fear dying without accomplishing something significant. Maybe you fear economic instability. Maybe you fear being inadequate, or maybe even insignificant. Maybe you fear for the welfare of your family, parents, spouse, children. Maybe you fear loneliness. Maybe you fear your relationship with God. Maybe it's your faith. This morning on the first Sunday of Advent, it might be helpful to know that we are not alone in our fears. There was so much fear that very first Christmas. We sometimes forget that. Just a quick reading of the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke reminds us of the fear that consumed the lives of so many people. In chapter 1, we're told that Zechariah, when the angel appeared to him, was, quote, startled and gripped with fear. Later, the angel appears to Mary, and we are told she was afraid and greatly troubled. And then we come to the shepherds in our text for today. Shepherds, as we know, were some of the lowest people on the social scale in these days. Now, because of texts like Psalm 23 and other scripture passages, we sometimes romanticize the life of these ancient shepherds, but the reality is the social and economic realities 2,000 years ago designated shepherds in the Middle East at the very bottom of the pecking order. But God doesn't really care about pecking orders. They don't really seem to matter to God. Luke tells us that before anyone else heard the good news, before anyone else, the angel came to the shepherds. And yes, they were terrified. Who wouldn't be? Can you imagine being outside the middle of the night, out in a field, watching over the sheep, And in the middle of that dark, lonely field, an angel appears bright and shining. Who wouldn't be afraid? Of course, they were terrified. It was a frightening vision. So the angel begins with these four simple words: do not be afraid. You've probably heard it said, but do not be afraid is the most common phrase in the Bible. Anytime an angel appears, almost without exception, the first words the angels say are those four simple words in English: do not be afraid. And yet, we live with so much fear. Faith has always helped with our fears. In fact, what I want to say this morning is, I believe we often sing our fears into faith, into hope. That's why music is so important to us during the Advent Christmas season. What do? We sing our fears into faith. We sing them into hope. Let me tell you, that has always been the case with the hymn we sang earlier in our service today, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. I read an article by Mary Gray. She writes that at some time in the fearful years of the late 5th or 6th century, when lawless tribes were finishing off Roman civilization, a literate man of God wrote a prayer for deliverance. His prayer began in Latin, O sapienta quae ex ar altissimi, veni, come. The prayer begins, O wisdom from highest heaven, come. It continues, O Emmanuel, veni, come. And now, almost 1,500 years later, we still sing, O come, Emmanuel. Mary Gray continues. She says, was the writer of this prayerful hymn among the 50 lonely exiles who landed in Ireland in 550 AD, 1500 years ago, fleeing Vandals and Huns and other barbarians? He could have been. Ireland was the only safe place. In fact, many people were seeking refuge in Ireland since St. Patrick had taken on the wild Irish tribes and baptized them and started teaching them to read early in the 5th century. In the beginning, this prayer, this hymn, was known as O Sapienta, or more often, the Great O's, said or chanted. Each line began with an O. Each line saluted the Messiah under a title ascribed to him in the Bible. And each title was followed by a plea. O come, veni, Emmanuel. Originally, that line was the very last line of this prayer hymn that was written. And she says it was so often sung and chanted at times of great fear to engender hope and faith. She says throughout war-torn centuries, the great O's have survived. When millions have been forced into lonely exile, these words have been handed down by scribes who copied them, by musicians who bent the words to fit the lines of the music. On December the 18th, 563, in a tiny windowless chapel on the tiny lonely island called Iona off the west coast of Scotland, unseen men in painted bodies gathered to listen as the monks sang, O come, Emmanuel. These monks had left Ireland to bring Christ and faith and books to the Aborigines on this remote island, and under Columba, the man of iron, their mission succeeded beyond the wildest of imaginations. Then 230 years later, in 793 AD, this island by that time had become a powerful center of the Christian faith. Young monks copied the sacred writings and hymns, many of them, including our hymn, O Come Emmanuel, during that time. And suddenly in that year, 793, axes plunged out of the darkness. The Vikings attacked. For the next 150 years, these faithful Christians on this small island were attacked by marauding pirates who pillaged the monasteries and the churches and destroyed the libraries. But even, she says, as the libraries and the churches were being destroyed, the faithful Christians sang, O come, Emmanuel. The great O's went on. In hidden outposts all across this world, she writes, the faithful were pleading, O come, desire of nations, bind all people in one heart and mind, bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease, fill the whole world with heaven's peace. It was a song of hope and faith sung by people who were afraid. In 1066, William of Normandy came not to pillage, but to rule. He forged a nation. And in the midst of fears, the Saxon monks of Westminster Abbey sang, O come, Emmanuel, ransom captive Israel. They sang that two nights before Christmas when William the Conqueror was crowned on the high altar of Westminster Abbey. Some 500 years later, Christians fighting Christians during the Protestant Reformation. But even in that time, Catholics and Protestants alike both sang, O come, Emmanuel, bid our sad divisions cease. And it was probably around this time, some 500 years ago, that hope-filled refrain was added, rejoice. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. For thousands of years, Christians living in fear have sung their fear into faith and into hope. They have strengthened their hope by singing, Emmanuel shall come today. During Advent, we sing our fears into faith. We sing them into our hope. I recently read, fear is merely an acronym for false evidence appearing real. Emily Dickinson adds her thoughts. She says, hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul, and it sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. We sing our fears into faith, into hope. Richard Rohr has written, we do not think ourselves into new ways of living, we live ourselves into new ways of thinking. We will always live in fear. We will always be a fearful people. But as Christians, especially during Advent, we sing our fears into faith, into hope. John Thomas Oakes, a songwriter, tells about a true experience in his life. He calls this brief encounter the sparrow at Starbucks. Oakes writes, it was chilly in Manhattan, but inside the Starbucks on 51st and Broadway, just a skip from Times Square, the November weather in New York was holding on the slightest hint of bitter chill that would come later in January and December and January. But it was enough cold, he says, to send the masses crowded indoors to vie for available space and warmth. For a musician, he writes, that Starbucks is the most lucrative location in the world, and consequently, tips can be substantial if you play your tunes right. Well, apparently, he says, we were playing all the right chords that evening because our baskets were overflowing. It was a fun, low-pressured gig, he says. We did mostly pop songs from the late 40s till the early 90s with a few original tunes thrown in. But during our emotional rendition of the classic If You Don't Know Me By Now, I noticed a lady, he said, sitting in one of the lounge chairs across from me. She was swaying to the beat. She was singing out loud. After the tune was over, she approached me and she said, "I apologize for singing along. Did it bother you that I was singing out loud?" And he said, no, not at all. We love it when folks sing along with us. In fact, he said, "Would you like to sing up front for the next selection?" To my delight, he writes, she accepted my invitation. "You choose," he said. She turned to him and she said, "Do you know any hymns?" "Hymns?" He writes, the woman didn't know who she was dealing with. "I cut my teeth on hymns. Before I was even born, I was going to church," he writes. I gave our guest singer a knowing look and said, "Name one." She said, "Oh, I don't know. There are so many good ones. Why don't you choose one?" "Okay," he said. "How about His Eye Is on the Sparrow?" He writes, my new friend was silent, eyes averted. And then she fixed her eyes on me, nodded her head, and said, "Yes, let's do that one." She turned to face the group who was gathered to listen and to drink coffee, and she nodded her head, she straightened her jacket, she faced the center of the shop, and she began to sing, "Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come?" The audience of coffee drinkers was transfixed. Even the gurgling noises from the cappuccino machines ceased as employees stopped what they were doing to listen. And then the song rose to its conclusion. "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." John Thomas says it was a holy moment. And when the last note was sung, the applause crescendoed to a deafening roar that would have rivaled even a sold-out crowd at Carnegie Hall. Embarrassed, the woman tried to shout over the din, "Oh, y'all go back to your coffee. Oh, cut it out. But when the ovation died down, John Thomas says, "I embraced my new friend and I said, 'My dear, you have made my whole year. That was so beautiful.'" "Well," she said, "it's kind of funny that you picked that particular hymn." "Why is that?" "Well," she hesitated, "that was my daughter's favorite song." And he says, she grabbed my hands and said, "My daughter was 16. She died last week with a brain tumor." And John Thomas says, I said the first thing that went through my stunned, silent mind, are you going to be okay? She smiled with tear-filled eyes and she squeezed his hands. She said, "I've been so sad, so afraid, but singing my faith, it gives me hope." And she concluded by saying, "I've just got to keep trusting the Lord and singing His songs, and everything will be fine. I've just got to keep trusting the Lord and singing His songs, and everything will be just fine." Emmanuel shall come to thee. So as the angel said, do not be afraid. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, during the hectic, busy pace of this Advent season, calm our hearts, quiet our souls, and as we find ourselves afraid, may we sing of our faith and sing of our hope so that we are not afraid, but trusting in you that everything will be okay. Lead us and guide us as we journey through this season of waiting, so that once again, Emmanuel shall come. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.